Hello, and welcome to This Week at Charlestown Road, a branch of the Heaven Bound podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Schaus, and this is where we reflect on the weekend that was. We dig a little deeper into a recent sermon to give you something to think about as this week unfolds, but also preview what's to come this next weekend at Charlestown Road. Roger, we almost made it 100 episodes without missing a single one, and I had to get sick and break our streak last week.
Well, we couldn't help that, and I don't know which button to turn, and so we skipped a few, but we're back.
It is good to be back. We remotely recorded last Wednesday. I was in my closet, but it is much, much, much better to be back in studio with you. And to talk about your sermon from this past Sunday, The Price of Victory, you and I have just kind of been bouncing off of each other in recent weeks, talking about the present challenges that all disciples of Jesus face right now. And a good fitting way, I think, of wrapping that whole idea up was the price of victory. Why don't you give, if our audience hasn't been able to go back and listen to that in detail, why don't you give just a basic recap of where you were?
Sure. That was based on a text in the book of Revelation chapter 7. And all things that are worthwhile, everything that is victorious, comes with a price. A student who wants to be on the honor roll, there's a price he has to pay to be on the honor roll, not financial, but in time and effort. When we think about war efforts, the country that wins, there's a price that they had to pay in lives and in cost. And when we think about walking with Jesus and that victory we'll have in heaven, there's a price that comes with us. This is one of the contrasts in the Bible, that salvation is free and grace is a gift, but there's still the cost of discipleship, the idea of walking with Jesus. And that's what we try to look at from the book of Revelation through the eyes of those first Christians as they walked with the Lord.
So as we have been doing here on Wednesdays, I jotted down a couple of questions that I thought maybe would be better to just dig a little deeper here in the middle of the week. If you have not had the opportunity to watch or listen to that sermon, of course, it's freely available at charlestownroad.org. But with that in view, you said a couple of times, everything worthwhile comes with a cost. Why do you think that is? Why would our Creator design life that way? Even we know before Genesis 3, before sin enters the picture and takes this terrible toll on humanity, we know that work was a part of life in the Garden of Eden. So why do you think God made life where everything worthwhile comes with a cost?
You know, we see this in life. I think about the time that mom, dad, and the kids go to Disney, and the kids are just having the time of their life, and dad's just standing there thinking, I just paid $7 for a Coke. Everything has a cost. And part of this is the effort involved, the productivity. It's easy to flunk out of school. It's easy to strike out in baseball. It's easy to get fired from your job. But to do well, to excel as God wants us to, that takes an effort. And what's interesting about the Genesis pages is that work was not one of the curses God put upon man. God placed certain curses after Adam and Eve sinned, but tilling the garden, taking care of the garden, was done before they had even sinned. God wants us to be productive. Laziness and idleness is the devil's playpen, and we get in trouble that way. And there's a wonderful passage in the book of Colossians, which is directed towards slaves. It's really an ethic I think God wants all of us to have. In Colossians 3, he says, slaves, in all things obey those who are your masters on earth, not with external service as those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you'll receive receive the reward of inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. And so whether one is digging a ditch, one is preaching, one is painting a wall, one is teaching kids, the idea is that we need to give our best to God. And that's a cost, cost in effort, cost in time, cost in, you know, putting your all into it, making every job the best that you can do it.
Once we've put in that work, we have a unique sense of appreciation, right? I think of two teenagers, one who worked and worked and worked and saved and saved, and she's just gotten her first car, and she's able to drive that home and really appreciate what she's driving because of the work that went into paying for that, right? Versus a teenager who has never worked a day in his life and lives with a big sense of entitlement, and his daddy hands him the keys to a brand new car. And of course, that teenager is thrilled, but maybe the level of appreciation isn't there because the work didn't go into it.
And you see that with rental cars. I rent a lot of cars when I travel. And cars will come in, and before you can get in the car as the next person who's going to rent it, they've got to clean it. And some of them are just trashed. Why? Because it's not my car. I don't care. But when it's your car, when you've got the investment, you'll take care of it.
Yeah. Discipleship requires personal investment. Another passage you used on Sunday was Luke chapter 14 that is all about personal investment. Now, as I was listening, it struck me how these words really land in 2020. We live in an era where exclusion is a bad word, right? The motto of so many organizations and groups of people, individuals, it's all about inclusion. And yet we know Jesus was not afraid to draw lines in the sand. He said in Luke chapter 14 on a couple of different occasions, if then you cannot be my disciple. He said in verse 26, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. In the next verse, whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Why is it that Jesus would tell anyone, you cannot be my disciple?
And just to add one more, this context ends in 33. So then none of you can be my disciple who does not give up all his own possessions. So opposite as we think Jesus ought to be. We would think Jesus is on this big PR campaign, you know, everybody calling out. We want everybody to join on the bandwagon. Everyone follow us. Come on, everybody. But he lays the law down here. And he's talking about commitment. He's talking about that cost. Within this context, that idea comes up. In verse 28, he talks about a man who's building a tower. Does he not first sit down and calculate? He's counting the cost. And then he talks about a king going off to war, and he's going to consider whether he has enough men or not enough men to win the battle. And what Jesus is saying is, you know, there's no consolation prize in heaven. There's no second place. There's no T-shirt for I tried. Jesus wants us to stay with it and to understand that following Jesus would mean opposition. Families would turn against family. The road would be hard. It would be lonely. Jesus didn't enter towns with big banners up there and be taken to finest banquets and restaurants in town. That wasn't the way it was. Particularly following the apostles after him, they were considered the scum or the dirt of the earth. And yet Jesus wants us, but he wants you to know what it's going to be like. And your friends may not agree with you. Your family may not agree with you. It may be trouble at work. It may be trouble in lots of places. I want you to be my disciple, but you better sit down and see what's involved first. There's a commitment. You've got to worship God, Not just when you feel like it, not on a rainy day because I can't go to the lake now, but I need to worship God because it's Sunday. I need to walk with God, whether it's popular or not. I need to be praying to Him. I need to be reading His Word. I need to be living a righteous, devout life, even though the world around us may not be. And so these are some of the things that Jesus is wanting them to see. No need to follow me if you're not going to do these things. No need to even sign up if you can't keep the cost.
Certain things that we have to be willing to do and certain things that we have to be willing to leave behind, right? Hebrews chapter 12 talks about the sin and weight that clings so closely. There has been more than one time that I've taken my daughters hiking, and especially when they were younger, I can remember, of course, they get really excited about the idea and might have a little backpack, or I'm carrying a backpack, and they start coming up with all sorts of things they want to take with them on that hike, right? Things that you're not going to need at all. You're not going to need a Cinderella doll. You're not going to need some sort of a speaker system. You're not going to need whatever it is. We're going to need some food. We're going to need some water. And that's about it. I think as disciples, maybe we're excited by the idea of the forgiveness of our sins. We're intrigued, of course, by the idea of going to heaven, but we want to try and be heaven bound by carrying a lot of weights that Jesus is telling us you got to be willing to leave behind. That's part of counting the cost there in Luke chapter 14. So let's put that in 2020 sort of terms. What might counting the cost of discipleship look like in today's terms?
Well, you know, the one who's following Jesus, he's going a different direction than the world. And so he's going to be honest in a dishonest world. He's not going to be so occupied with self as he is about serving others. He's not going to be consumed with all the spirit of anarchy and hatred and violence and opinions and all the stuff we find on Facebook. He's not going to be liking all that stuff. His heart is devoted to Jesus. And so he's going to be different. And so again, the world we live in, it cannot do one activity without alcohol involved. I mean, even funeral homes in our community now have liquor license. Why? I have no understanding of that. But the disciple of Jesus is going to be different than that. Disciple Jesus is not going to get into all this bad language that the world has consumed anymore. He's going to be thoughtful about his presence. He's going to be considerate of his activities and his example to other people because he is following Jesus Christ. And there's a cost. That cost may be in friendships. That cost may be in family relationships. That cost may be in being excluded at work. A lot of workplaces are toxic, very gossipy. And the disciple of Jesus is not going to get caught up in that. So you walk in a room and everyone may get real quiet and they may just stare at you. And that's very uncomfortable. It may be that everyone's invited but you. It may be that everyone is excited to see everybody except you. But you follow Jesus, and you know what you're doing is right, and you know that you have the fellowship of the heaven-bound people, and you know what God is doing is right, and you want to go to heaven more than anything else.
One of the poignant moments, I think, in your sermon from this past Sunday, you said not everyone is willing to pay that cost. Some look at life with Jesus and say, well, it's just going to cost too much. And that can be hard for someone who does have a heart willing to count the cost, wants to follow Jesus no matter what. So what can I, as a disciple of Jesus, do when people that I care about say, you know what, it's just not worth it?
Well, you know, one of the hymns we sing, it says, heaven is all the world to me, and the reward is greater than the cost. Whatever you pay, even when you think about these first disciples of Jesus, they paid with their very lives. Even when you pay with your life, the reward is eternal. The reward is with God. There's nothing else compares to that. A person can go to Disney, they can go to the mountains, they can go to the ocean, and when they get to heaven, they're going to say, you know what, this is just, no, it's not. There's nothing like heaven. And heaven never, ever ends. The financial guru, Dave Ramsey, always has this little statement, live like no one else so you can live like no one else. And that's the idea of discipleship, is that there is a cost. And I may not be the most popular. I may not be on the top of the world with everyone else. It may not bring me fame and fortune, but it's bringing me pleasure, and God is pleased with me. That is the cost. And that's what we have to tell our friends. I mean, you can have some happiness now for 20, 40, 50, 70 years, however long you live. But on the other side is forever. And forever never ends.
And let's not discount the power of our influence, right? For a time, maybe there is some separation. For a time, maybe there is some tension as we're going in two different directions. But we know that Scripture teaches the power of positive influence, that perhaps there is that separation that causes some second thought, and eventually that person is willing to turn around and reconsider, because the disciple of Jesus was a consistent Christ-like influence. So let's end here. On an ordinary Wednesday in 2020, how can I know? What would you say to the person who's looking for a little bit of reassurance today? Victory in Jesus is going to be worth the cost, whatever that cost is.
We know that because Jesus is true. We know that because the promises are right. We know that because the Scriptures teach that. Just two examples in the book of Luke. Luke 16 is the rich man Lazarus. Rich man had everything. I mean, the way the Lord paints him, he wore the clothes of luxury. He ate scrumptiously every day. He lived behind a gated community. He was on top of the world, and then he died. And then he was in torment, and that wasn't going to change. Now, was it worth Lazarus being faithful to God? He was poor. He didn't have anybody to take care of him. But it was on the other side. And then in the book of Luke in chapter 12, we have this rich farmer. Tore down his barns, going to build larger barns. And he had his whole life mapped out in front of him. But God said, you fool, tonight your soul is required of you. He was not rich toward God. How do we know it's worth it? Because God says so. And God says we can do it. And God says you can do it, and you have to be willing to pay a cost, and you can do it because we have the hope of Scriptures behind us.
The price of victory. I'm excited for tonight. We've got a nice bookend to that lesson. Our Wednesday evening summer series continues this evening with Wilson Adams from Murfreesboro, Tennessee. He's going to be talking about this lyric from our theme song for the summer, When This Journey Comes to an End. One great way of making sure that we reassure ourselves that the victory is going to be worth the cost is reflecting on the end of the journey, right? What it's going to be like when this journey comes to an end. If you're local, if you're a member of our Charlestown Road Church family, or you would just like to visit, we would love to have you this evening at 7 o'clock p.m., Then this Sunday, Roger, you have the privilege again of speaking. What do you have in mind?
We're going to entitle the lesson, Tomorrow's Prayer. And we're going to look at some things that David prepared Solomon with, the idea of kind of legacy and our obligation to others, and particularly the next generation. And when we are so focused in our times right now of the COVID-19, all we see is now. We got to realize that there's something behind the now, and to look at some things that we need to be doing in our families and our congregations to kind of help us prepare and to prepare them for what comes down the road.
Roger, thanks for joining me today. Thanks to all of you for listening to This Week at Charlestown Road. We're already looking forward to Sunday, the best day of the week. We would love to have you come and grow with us.